We have Jean, Paula, Mike, Goodwin, and Felix. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Right, right.
Anyone else on the call?
Ashley.
Yes. Oh, me, yes. And from TDHCA, we also have Marshall Mitchell and Elizabeth Yevich on the call. So I guess that can constitute as our roll call. And so the first order would be approving the April 30th meeting minutes, which were sent out by email last Friday. Does anyone have any changes, comments, concerns with the meeting minutes?
Do we have enough people to approve it?
Let's see. We have
our committee.
Four of you out of eight. That's 50%. We have to have more than 50%.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that'll have to wait.
I'll have to hear.
They're fine with me, but they do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we will hold off on that, and maybe we'll get some more people on the call as we keep going, and maybe we can handle that later in the call. So kind of just as a recap of where we are right now, there were last week, I guess 2 weeks ago, I had Jonas look at a draft of the preface or purpose page, as well as a draft chapter three, defining service and rich housing and supporting terminology, as well as our quote-unquote profiles, which were garnered from the public forums, which would probably be an appendix, but Jonas had the idea that we could have these stories in their entirety in an appendix, but then draw from those and highlight chunks of those throughout the chapters of the plan, and wanted to put that idea forward to you all. So those are what, I guess, the basis of our discussion today will be. And in terms of what staff is currently working on, Elizabeth is looking at two sections that I wrote this past week. One is our background section, which basically is just kind of an overview of what this council is, what it's statutorily required to do, our directive and the activities of our council thus far. That's our background chapter. And then I created separate chapter about a needs assessment, because it was something that I realized we needed to have given all of the quantitative data that I was pointed towards, and also as a way of kind of driving the plan by showing, we know that this need exists for persons who are elderly and persons with disabilities. Here's some quantitative data to back up this obvious need, and then that chapter will then move us into the next chapters of the plan of the directives that we have. So I didn't want to confuse everybody by rearranging the chapter numbers yet, because that would be too confusing. But those are the two chapters that I drafted this week. Elizabeth will be making edits, and then once edits are made, they will be sent out to the committees. And I'm also still working on Chapter 5, Identifying Barriers, which was the last conference call we had, was covering those barriers. And that has proven to be a little bit more work, because it's a little bit more background research and information gathering in order to kind of make that chapter be very thorough in the way that we're identifying our barriers. So I'm continuing to work on that chapter, and we'll have it to you as soon as it is finished. So that's where we are now, and so I'd like to open up the discussion to any comments, edits, critiques of those documents which were sent to the committee last week. So we can, if you want to start with the preface, we can start there. How does that work? Is that cool with everybody?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. So I will, whatever feedback anybody has, if anyone has any comments, go ahead and throw them out there.
Mark's comments were on the, what do you call it, the three, right? No, defining service and rich housing?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I mean, he gave a couple of comments to the preface, but they really were more grammatical or anything. So does anyone have any changes, anything that we need to maybe add to the preface, or is this an okay way to start out the plan?
I'm really looking at it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did not have any particular changes.
I've got the one from Mark, and yes, he did.
Yeah,
he did quite a bit, and I agree. I mean, he has the history of long-term services and individuals with disabilities, and with the advent of Medicaid waivers. I agree with all of his. I guess his thing is more switching to individuals rather than that doesn't really matter to me, but I think his talk about option and choice and stuff like that there is just fine.
Yeah.
And elderly, older, I'm not, yeah.
Yeah, I think that you know, we have, you know, kind of, it's hard because we have gone back and forth in terms of language that we've used, and so in terms of the bullet.
Yeah, we had already agreed to that, didn't we?
Yeah, so in terms of, I'm pretty sure that we agreed based on the definition of service-enriched housing that went before the board and now is the rule, is persons who are elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah, and I think those are things we had agreed on whether he liked them or not.
Yeah, they were agreed on many months ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep persons who are elderly and make sure, and I'll make sure that it's consistent in case there were any maybe rewordings. I can make sure they're consistent.
Yeah, I had only two minor picky things that really don't affect anything, but I just had a question. In the first paragraph of the preface, the next to the last line, right in the middle where it says the gap between independent living and facility care,
mm-hmm.
Would we be stronger by changing the word facility to institutional care?
I think so.
Sure, we can. We can do that.
I mean, that's more of a comment. I agree with you. That's really more of the terminology that people use.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean that, and I was looking. Part of this first paragraph was lifted from the original LBB government effectiveness and efficiency report that started this whole thing off.
Oh, okay.
The way to kick us off is you know, what made this all happen.
Yeah.
So that's the language that they had used. But of course, since we've been using institutional more, so we can change that.
And the only other one, and this is probably stupid and shows the fact that my mother was my English teacher, so I didn't learn anything. Third paragraph. Fifth sentence down where it talks about guiding recommendations made to the governor, legislature, and the leadership of state housing and health service agencies. Should state be capitalized since we're talking about the state of Texas?
I think so, actually. I mean, the way that I've seen it both ways, honestly.
Yeah.
I've seen it both ways, but we can certainly make sure that we capitalize.
Yeah. And then we'll try to be consistent throughout.
Yeah, that's right. We just need to make sure we're consistent however way we decide to go.
I'm just struggling to prove to you I read it.
There we go. Now, I think that's one of those rules that it always used to be capitalized, state, but it's now not so much.
It seems like
I like it capitalized, so let's capitalize it and be consistent.
Okay.
Things like tend to over-capitalize.
Yeah.
Seems like things ought to be capitalized on our
right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll capitalize. We'll keep that going.
And with the markets today, that's the only thing I can get capitalized. We can't get any money.
All right. So any additional comments? I've heard that we insert Mark's idea in the first paragraph about choice. We've changed facility to institutional care. We keep persons who are elderly as our phrase, or the elderly, and we capitalize state where it is necessary. Are we good? Anything else? Okay. I will take that as yes. So, moving on, Chapter 3, Finding Service-Enriched Housing and Supporting Terminology. Now, this was my first crack at it, so obviously, you know, we can do lots of additions and lots of editing and multiple drafts if we need to. But this was just based on our conversation of our first conference call, as well as our March 2nd committee meeting. So, and yes, I received comments from Mark, and Mark and I had a conversation about, actually the majority of his comment was at the very end, pages 4 and 5, which is the service type. And I think that he had maybe read it quickly and didn't realize that the service categories that I was using were based on Dad's 2010 reference guide. And once he realized that, he was like, oh, well, let's just keep it that way because it's from the reference guide used by the state agency. So I think that his comments, we cleared up those comments that he had had. But I know there were additional comments throughout the draft, and you guys probably have comments, so go ahead.
Maybe not. I was, again, well, Mark really didn't have many comments on that person.
And as we discussed at Monday's council meeting, we will put in where there are quotations, the name and organization of the individual.
Okay, that was really my only issue that I felt pretty strongly about, that we needed to list the people. That
yeah, I have begun inserting those into the chapters that I already completed.
And I disagree with Mark on that, and he knows it, I think it is good to support our recommendations or to the things that we're saying with the things that were said. Same as when we're discussing things that may not have been agreeable, we need to also reference those comments to support that discussion, you know.
Right, Jean. I think we agree with you.
Yeah.
I think, and I had a phone conversation with Jonas, as well last Thursday or Friday, and I think that we're on the same page with that in terms of we're going to have we already in the biennial plan outline, if you guys recall the biennial plan outline that went out a while back, there is a chapter 2 that is set aside to be what Mark Gold is looking for, which is a content analysis of everything in the public forums and stakeholder feedback process.
Are you going to put that in the needs assessment chapter?
Actually, those were separate because the needs assessment is more quantitative data-driven, whereas the public forum stakeholder feedback chapter is qualitative-driven, yeah. and it's specific to what we as a council have heard to our specific charge. So those were separate because the needs assessment was, you know, given national and state data that has been collected by, you know, federal agencies and
yeah.
academic research groups or advocacy groups, this is what has been said to be the need. And then we get into this is an analysis of specifically what we have heard from individuals who came to our forums, who spoke, who submitted written comments, et cetera.
That sounds like a good flow.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you think so. And so I think I'm hoping that will address part of Mark's concern is that we will have a full content analysis at the beginning before we even get to this chapter. So does that sound good to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I will be working on that upcoming, too. I figured that because it came up at Monday's meeting, I probably should get on that chapter so we can make sure that we're all clear on that.
Now, are you incorporating his comments in the various definition areas? For example, when you talk about health maintenance, where he made the comment, why are you putting on just for older persons? It ought to include everybody in the subset.
Right, and so this is something that is completely up to the council's decision. The the health maintenance, the language of the health maintenance section of the service types, everyone, we're on page 4 and 5,
mm-hmm.
was taken directly from DADS's 2010 reference guide. So if we want to change that, I can, and we can definitely do that. I want to give you guys that it wasn't my language, it wasn't my creation of that definition. It was from the reference guide.
Well, maybe what one of our missions is to give the guidance that says that's not sufficient, that it is not just to support older persons in the context that we're doing. It is for older persons or elderly and for persons with disabilities.
Or we could just say well-being of a person. I mean,
yeah,
you know, just
sure.
And then kind of tell them, you know, guys, and you can put modified or whatever,
sure,
you know, reference it and then put modified. But I do think that one is a legitimate comment, which he should do on his own. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
His own agency. But, yeah.
Okay. So what is the thought? Should we say well-being of a person?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll change that language. And make sure that we say that we've modified DADS's reference guide definitions. Are there any other definitions from the reference guide that we need to modify?
Yeah, and the same thing on the long-term services and support. His second comment in that paragraph, where being old isn't a disabling condition.
Sure. So we just want to say assistance and care for people who, how do I want to say that? Because it says with a chronic disabling condition, is that what we want to use?
Well, yeah, instead of saying some other, just say elderly or persons with disabling conditions. Are we, you know, in my opinion, a person with a disability has a chronic condition, and that's included in the term a person with a disability.
Okay. So change that to persons with a chronic disabling condition then? Is that what you said? Sorry, I just want to make sure I got it right.
Or other persons with disabling conditions. I would even leave out chronic. That's my comment.
Jean, is that, politically correct? Disabling condition?
It isn't necessarily.
Or persons with disabilities?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's any age person.
Yeah.
I see if we just use our standard of persons with disabilities instead of having the disabling condition or part to it. Because we've defined that somewhere else in the document.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. All right, we'll change that to just persons with a disability, or persons with disabilities, I think we say.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we'll change that. Let's see. Are there any other? I just want to look through it real quick to make sure that there aren't any other categories in this section that we need to change. Okay, I don't. The other ones reference a person in a residence or independent living environment. Person who needs assistance to maintain a private and independent residence. Okay. I think that there weren't any others that had a different label than we were looking for in terms of language.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any besides those? Are there any comments on the rest of the document?
I think it's what we all talked about.
Okay.
Another outstanding job by staff.
Thank you very much.
I couldn't really read Mark's edits because it. Charles doesn't, my screen reader doesn't do well with track changing.
Oh. Okay.
Like, it's got to try to read two things at once, and it's very confusing, you know?
Sure. Well, Paul, let me know. I mean, is there a better way that we should ask people to respond? then, in terms of if they're going to, like, send an electronic response?
Yeah, I've just been thinking a lot. This is a dilemma that comes up a lot of times, and I haven't found a way that's totally comfortable. Sometimes if people just put their changes in parens or quotes or something, it works better. But I just hate to make people have to deal with all of that when you've got a mechanism. So.
Well, I don't think the parentheses changes would be that bad. I mean, I think that that's fine because people can, like, you know, for the purposes of chart changes is basically just that same thing except in different color. And
right.
So
So
I mean, basically we can do parentheses edits. If that's fine.
Yeah, that would work better for me because then Joshua said parens, blah, 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 you know, closer, but it does not say blue, red.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, why don't we try to, I will definitely make sure that I send out an email to everyone that if they are going to submit written mm-hmm. comment rather than just submitting comment during our conference calls, that they do that with parentheses.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Sure. Okay. All right. Well, then I guess we can move on to the profiles. I know that there isn't really, I mean, we can't say much about editing the profiles because the profiles are just the testimony given.
Right.
But, and what I, and the way that I organized them was by public forum, but if we want to organize them a different way, if we have some themes that we think we need to organize them around, or if there's some that feel out of place, some of the stories that feel like out of place in terms of our charges, we can always take those out. Jonas wanted to just open that up to see kind of what people's feelings were about the profiles.
Well, I think because when you use the quotes incorporated in the places we want to use the quotes, those kind of organize them into the specific areas, but this would be more a report out from the actual hearings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fine based on where they were heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just do it regional, and then probably maybe break it down within each forum, sort of be consistent.
Yeah, within each forum, if there were two speakers in the same vein, then they probably ought to go together, or one follow the other. Doesn't matter what order.
You know, if they're coming from one segment, you know, nursing, they're speaking on nursing facilities or something, put those all together and put those first, and then keep those consistent within each regional hearing.
That's a good idea. Like, yeah, if they address homeless or...
Right. Yeah, the subject is.
Did someone else join? Oh,
here beeps.
Okay. So I can try to, within the locations that I already have, or the group on based on topic. And, I mean, obviously all of the transcripts are available on our website. So if you guys, like, at some point during your day recall some feedback you received that isn't there that you think really is necessary, it's all online. So you can always tell me, you know, oh, I remember from this forum there's this. Because what I tried to do is say, where was there a personal experience? So a parent who discussed their child that has, you know, a traumatic brain injury, or where is there someone who said, you know, I have been a recovering person with substance abuse disorder, and whenever there was a personal testimony, that's where I took it out because I thought that was kind of the guidance that had been given about what these profiles should look like. So I didn't usually use stuff where it was someone talking generally about, you know, barriers or need or recommendations. Is that kind of the way that we had understood it to be, is that we're looking more at the personal stories of need?
That seems to me like the definition of a profile.
Yeah.
And if we're doing a profile, we're talking about them as a person.
Personal,
not
yeah.
Their general opinions about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure that we were all on the same page.
Just the way the
names report, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, I guess that's everything that we had just I wanted to make sure we covered. I think that we can now just move on to staff research assignments. Like I said, we're trying to craft...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I guess I misunderstood the agenda item that it says discussion of biennial plan recommendations. Are you just talking about the edits to what you've prepared?
Yes.
Okay. And maybe I'm not following. At what point are we going to start talking, and maybe it's a staff assignment, about ideas for recommendations? Is that something that's going to come out of the overall council meetings or in this committee, or what am I policy-wise? I'm kind of into moving into some recommendations. I'm impatient.
I agree with you. I think that maybe we will make that then our next conference call, which should be focused on starting that process. Like I was saying with Mike earlier when he had that initial comment about developers and financing, we have a lot of ideas, but in order to get to those ideas, I've been trying to draft the chapters that kind of build the foundation for our argument. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now, is in terms of drafting these chapters, is I'm trying to draft the initial chapters that start this whole process, I guess you could say, and then once we have all these, we've identified our barriers, we've identified our needs, we've identified our feedback, now let's do the recommendations. I mean, does that make sense in terms of the way we're moving forward?
It's sort of, but just as a, how do we know what we're putting down as a foundation if we haven't really talked about some of the recommendations we might be thinking about? I guess we'll have to go, it will then have to go backwards if, in fact, we haven't had a conversation about tax credits or bonds or, you know, other things, new money or those kind of things. I guess I'm...
Well, and there are places within the plan for identifying funding sources. That's also a chapter of the plan, is identifying sources for funding.
So
I always want to be able to, at the end of these conference calls, say, where do you guys want to go next?
Okay.
And what do you want to cover next? What I guess to everybody, do you think we should definitely hit on next? What do you think is the priority for our next conference call?
Me? I'm ready to move on to see if we can get some specific recommendations that some of us may have in mind or I have thought about based on the hearings we've had or conversations or meetings or whatever. My thing is, obviously, I don't want to see more reports that are going to sit on the shelf, that we really need to concentrate on some potential recommendations and make sure we have staff seeing whether, you know, how they might be able to be implemented.
Okay.
So that's kind of my thing.
Okay. Is everyone good with that we move to the policy recommendations chapter next week, or next conference call?
Yeah, that does sound like something we need to get on to. Jane's right. We kind of backed off of that part.
But I don't want to make it sound like we backed off of it, because really I'm just trying to get the drafts of the chapters that lead up to that done.
And that's great. And we're glad you are. But I think we're ready to start.
Is the next call the 27th?
Yes.
Ma'am. Okay.
It is. We're
doing good time, right? I mean, we're not.
I think so. I think.
Okay, good. All right.
I think that, you know, I think what would be a great idea is if people already have in mind specific recommendations and they want to submit those to me, I can compile those and send out a kind of discussion handout the way that I have in the past, saying, you know, here are some initial ideas we have, so that way we have somewhere to start for our next conference call. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Okay. So why don't we set a deadline? So do we want to say a week from today? So Thursday the 20th then is the deadline for if you have some ideas that, you know, you think are a priority to get into this plan, submit those to me, and I will compile them and then send them out as kind of our discussion starter. Is that good? Next Thursday?
That's good.
That sounds good.
Okay. I'll make sure I send out an email to everybody who missed this call saying next Thursday, please, you know, get those to me, and that's where we'll start our discussion on the 27th. Okay. All right, great. Well, that's a great, make sure we get that done. Is there any additional stuff outstanding in terms of previous conference calls or anything maybe from the council meeting that you guys thought about afterwards and said, ooh, I should have mentioned that?
I guess my only concern is, and it may be the function of how this was established, is that the staff are there in the housing department.
Right.
I don't know, and I'm not sure the research that's been done or what we need to look at on the service side, but I'm concerned that, from my knowledge, I'm going to spend a lot of time on recommending housing funding sources when there may be some opportunities over in the service side to look at, say, now currently how group homes are funded. Is there an opportunity for some of that money to be used at more of a integrated or more of a more on the housing side? And so I don't know what kind of research is being done in the Medicaid waivers and some of the MHMR funding that's out there and all of that. Are you all concentrating on that?
I will say that, you know, I have initiated conversations with persons that are outside this council about those things. So,
for example, good.
You know, I had a conversation with Dr. Emily Becker, who is for the mental health division of DSHES, discussing, you know, where they are right now in terms of funding for transitioning persons with mental illness. So kind of a similar conversation to what Nena had presented on, but not just for the continuity of care task force. And I'm setting up a meeting next week with Dina Stoner to discuss with her Medicaid stuff, since she's supposed to be a Medicaid guru. So I agree with you that we need to make sure that we're covering funding on both the housing and the services side to basically make sure that we're not missing anything. But at the same time that I can have those conversations and relay to you what I get from those conversations, I think part of the reason why we have a DADS representative, a DSHES representative, a DARS representative, an HHSC representative is for those people to bring to the table that knowledge. You know? I mean, I think that that's kind of like knowing that I am a TDHCA employee and that my background is affordable housing means that I think that, yes, I do have that limitation in my knowledge base. And so that's why I'm hoping that those council representatives from those state agencies can speak up when we discuss recommendations for funding about the service side.
I agree. I hope so. I'm not sure.
I find that one value that our staff being here has provided, I think, back when I been an outsider to those services, and so are the people who start accessing those services for the first time. And so it's been a real learning experience trying to find out what all is out there, and we can look at it not as myopically as some people might be who's in the system. So I think we do bring a value into that. We may not find all the funding sources and this and that and the other, but we're getting a better overview picture of what's out there than probably the people in the system, because they're focusing on their part of the system. I'm assuming all that.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that it's as we're learning it, I think that we are able to take a a broader viewpoint than maybe the specifics that, the certain people have expertise in. So I think, I think that I will definitely bring to the next conference call any information that I have gathered through my conversations with persons who I've been led to as experts in the service side, and then, you know, hopefully I can sway those who have the expertise of service funding to speak up.
That sounds great. I mean, specifically, like, I know in some of the waivers there's money for home modifications. I know there's problems with some of those, you know, how it's structured and how often they can use it and those kind of stuff, which, you know, from their perspective, I think they think of it as a service. But in my world, it's a housing service, you know. So I just want to make sure we don't make those service people participate enough, you know, to really make this become a collaborative effort, that they're supportive of the report that comes out because, in fact, it's really addressing their agencies and it's not just something they attended a meeting here and there about. So.
Right, right. No, I think I totally understand what you're saying, and I think that, I mean, the feedback that I've heard so far is that people aren't just doing this because they were assigned by their state agency, but they feel like it will add something of value, and especially if nothing else, it has begun the conversation between many partners that has been needed for some time.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, guys. And I think that we will have to, I guess, carry over our meeting minutes and do 2 meeting minute approvals at our next meeting. But we will do that, and we will also just, you know, I know we already said it, but Thursday, May 27th is our next conference call at 10:30 a.m. as usual. Please let me know in advance if you can't make it. People have been very good about letting me know. Keep that up. And again, as we discussed, if you have any initial policy recommendations to start out our next conversation, please submit them by next Thursday.
And would you, everybody, CC the committee when you submit so that we can see them on an ongoing basis rather than waiting until they're all compiled? Because that might spark some recommendations from one of us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Paula. I see. Yeah, I think that you know, we haven't yet really utilized the, you know, emails to everyone. It's mostly been emails to me and then me to all of you. But I think that that's a great idea if, you know, in between these conference calls, if we want to have more email conversations about these chapters, that's fine. It's encouraged.
Especially recommendations.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you.
I want to see everyone else's thinking as we go.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.